This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the world-famous Barrels and Dills, indeed second to none. All the Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. John Sauber in a few moments. We're trying to reach him now. We'll smoke a later in the show. Looking forward to that. Talk to him about the Ravens. You know, what's interesting is I do have a student in my class, just so you know, Todd, who happens to be the Ravens GM daughter. She's a gem, by the way. Complete gem. Just so you know. She'll wear her Ravens gear into class. All the Steelers fans are in there wearing their Steelers gear. I don't think they know. But you okay over there? There you go. Just want to make sure you're alive.
I'm here.
We'll mark you present.
Present might be a little much.
I'm an optimist.
Going to give it a few minutes here. He didn't answer his phone again, so.
He'll be fine. He'll get us. We're good.
And then Greg is ready, but he is currently on the 17th hole. So we're going to hit it.
He's on the 17th hole. It's 40 degrees out.
That's what I said. That was my next comment was, it's a little nippy for golf today.
Ay, 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 ay. Really?
That's what the man's text said.
I'm on the 17th hole. See, I played last week on Monday, 10 days ago. And I'll be honest with you. I've been really fortunate this year where I've had some great rounds of golf. Really. Like, this has been the single best year I ever had playing in my life. All right. I went out a week ago, 10 days ago. You want to know how I did? Guess.
I'm guessing, if I'm guessing, not real well.
Best round of the year.
All right.
I went out and I played the back nine of the blue course. I bogeyed 10. Okay? Parred 11. I couldn't believe I was hitting the ball. 12 is a 500-yard hole. Okay? I was left of the green of the pin in two. Chipped up, two-putted, parred that. Okay, birdied 13, now back to even par. Took a gap wedge, put it over the water on 14, about 15 feet to the left of the hole, two-putt par. Right? Almost drove it past the fairway, right, on 15 to the woods. Like, right? Lob wedge on the green, two-putt par that. Right? 16. Right? I'm 85 yards from the hole, wedge. Hit it in, two-putt, parred that. 17, I missed the green, but I chipped it within 5 feet, sunk the putt. Right, 18, over the water, no problem, boom, second shot, hit a wedge in. It hit square in the middle of the green, but the ground was so hard, it bounced to the back and onto the high grass. I chipped it and it's downhill. All right. It goes downhill. It goes 20 feet past the hole. I have to sink the putt to have an even par 36. I made the putt. I'm like going, that's it. We're done for the year. I can't do better than this. I could not. Like, I can't do any better than this.
And now you have all the cases on the clubs, and they're not coming out to the spring, are they?
I'm taking them out of the car and putting them in the back with the shoes, the whole thing. It's like, I can't do any better than this.
Yep.
I mean, like I said, even, okay, I hit square in the middle of the green, and it rolled to the back, and it went up into the high grass, the collar. So I had to chip, and when I chipped, it was straight downhill. It went right, it just missed going in the hole, and I'm 20 feet away. I sunk the putt for par. I'm looking around going, I've got to stop now. This is never going to happen in my life again.
Or maybe you've turned a corner, and maybe you're retiring to go on the Senior PGA Tour in 2 years.
Oh, deep down, you'd miss me.
Well, let's be honest. We know it's not happening.
That you're going to miss me?
Well, hey, all right. No, I meant the Senior PGA Tour, but...
Oh, God, that's Jerry Fisher who did the Lady Lions for years. I thought for sure Jerry was going to give it a shot at the Senior Tour because Jerry is, my goodness, I've been around very few people in my lifetime that could hit a golf ball as far as he could. Very few. Like, wow. And I thought when he got to 50, he would. He's out in Arizona now. He plays a lot of golf out in Arizona now. But gee whiz, could he play? So we can't get John. We're trying to get John. Get the John Sauber take on several things. But we do have Greg, who should be done on the... That's the only reason we're talking golf right now is because Greg is playing golf. It's like... I had the heat out of my car. Why? Because it's cold!
That's how I always know it's cold. The dog doesn't want to stay outside. The dog was in and out this morning, so.
That I believe. That I believe. My goodness. Ugh. It's, yeah. But it's November. It you know, you expect it to be chilly. It's November. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with that part of it. That's normal. I have most of the leaves picked up, not all. You know, because there's still some on a couple of maples I have. Oak trees just about done shedding them. That's good. They've been, and to the credit, my township does a great job of picking them up. I mean, they do. They do a great job picking them up. I'm like, okay, cool. And yeah, so that part's been going fine. There we are. Hey, it's that time of the year. Yeah. Get out. Still a little chilly out, a little nip in the air. Nothing wrong with that.
It's football weather.
It is football weather. It is football weather. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
We're going to give John a call now. He says he's good to go.
Okay, cool. That'd be great. Look forward to it. We'll talk to John about everything that's going on. And you know, whether it's football or basketball. One thing about it was interesting. Yesterday was letter of intent day for basketball. I never received anything about it. I mean, I know which guys are going to sign. But they haven't put out a release yet about signings, have they? Cool. And Commanders and Eagles tonight. You know, it's been a better schedule this year for Prime Video, and this is one of them. This game tonight has a chance to be a phenomenal game. We have John, don't we?
Yep, John's with us.
All right. And again, this half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. John Sauber, Sunday Daily Times, joins us. Hello, John. Welcome back.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's always great to have you on, John. So here's Penn State sitting there in a different world because of the 12-team playoff. What is your opinion on the positioning and how they played to get to this position?
Yeah, I think it's funny that that position they're at now is kind of where they're stuck, right? Like, I think number six is probably where Penn State ends up as long as they win out, just because you look at, you know, Ohio State ahead of them is the probably the most likely of the Big Ten teams to lose and drop beneath them. If that happens, that means Indiana's probably beating them and jumping ahead of Penn State. And so you look at this spot where Penn State's probably going to be the third highest ranked Big Ten team, putting them at the highest as the number six seed. And you know, you mentioned how they kind of got there. I mean, I think this past Saturday is one of the most impressive games they've played this year, right?
Yes.
We've seen before James Franklin-led teams have kind of let one loss turn into two. That's something he's talked about before. But this past Saturday, they you know, it was a whiteout and everything, but they took care of business and didn't let that happen. Put together, I would argue, their best game in all three phases on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I thought they played extremely well in that game, right when they needed to play a game like that. What has the 12-team playoff done for the month of November of college football and the interest in the sport because of it?
I think it's kind of increased it, right? Because one of the things I wrote about after the rankings came out Tuesday is I can say that Penn State will probably be the number six seed, right, and that we probably know these outcomes. Everybody knows that once November hits, chaos kind of reigns supreme in this sport,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, things can go really sideways really quickly for a lot of programs. And so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we're looking 2 weeks from now and you know, maybe Penn State's in the Big Ten title game, or you know, there's a team that came out of nowhere that is in the top 10 all of a sudden, fighting for that last at-large berth. Or you know, you talk about a team like Georgia, even, right? That is not a program anyone kind of had on the outside looking in, and right now that's where they sit with you know, a few weeks left to go in the season. So I think the interest for me at least is higher, because I do think it's just opened the door to. You know, more of that chaos, more of those scenarios where teams are involved and kind of have a chance down the stretch.
Well, in fact, last week we had what I would refer to as an elimination game, LSU and Alabama. LSU's out of it. They've got three losses now. Now you've got Georgia hosting Tennessee, for example, this week. Tennessee does not need to fall into the two-loss pool. Georgia, if they lose, it's three losses, they're out of it. So, I mean, to me, the intrigue it has brought has been incredible.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. And I think that those two games are a great example of that, right? Like, how many games in the past would we look at in November and be like, this will eliminate a team from the playoff, right? It was like one or two, maybe three. We're not even halfway through November, and you're looking at those two games specifically are just enormous. And then you have, you know, like I mentioned, Indiana and Ohio State, which are going to have an enormous impact on the rest of the season. Every game Oregon plays is going to have an enormous impact because they don't have the easiest opponents with, you know, Washington and Wisconsin coming up. So, yeah, I'm with you. This is, you know, there's so much more excitement and so much more on the line for so many more programs. I think it's been nothing but good for the sport so far. And, you know, if it increases to, you know, whatever it ends up being, 16 down the line, I think that's only going to increase that chaos and that uncertainty in November.
Before anybody poo-poos Oregon, Washington, keep in mind Dan Lanning has never beaten Washington. Now, it's different personnel, different time, but just a fact of life that despite having really good personnel, they still haven't beaten them yet. When you look at Penn State, they control their own destiny in this thing in terms of getting in. As I said after the Ohio State game, I said on the broadcast, they're in a four-game playoff to make the playoff. Now they're in a three-game playoff to make the playoff. Give me an area of the football team you think needs to be a little bit better that helps solidify that spot.
That's a good question. I honestly think that the wide receivers are going to be that spot until, you know, the season ends, right? We saw a little bit of it against Washington. We saw Trey Wallace play a lot better. Julian Fleming was involved. Liam Clifford was involved. You saw more general involvement from that position group. But I think until they're consistently contributing on a game-to-game basis, that's going to be the spot that everyone points to as maybe not the spot that's holding them back, but preventing them at least from reaching the highest end of their ceiling, right? Like, this is a potential national title contender, and I don't know if it can get there if the wide receivers aren't playing better than they are right now.
When I was talking to groups in the offseason, and naturally they asked about Drew Aller, I said, look, he was, what, 59.5% last year. I said, if he could be 64, 65, I said, now he's on track to having a really terrific season. Johnny, 70.3 right now. Are people doing, do you think people are appreciating enough how well he's actually playing?
No, but I also don't know if that was the case last year either, right? I thought last year there were a lot of mitigating circumstances that kind of set him off the path that maybe weren't his fault. This year, I mean, he's been tremendous. He's taken a massive step forward from last year. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. I believe that, you know, for large parts of this season. You know, I mentioned those wide receivers kind of holding the team back. The way he's playing, he's doing it with, you know, Tyler Warren's obviously a Mackey Award contender and a potential, you know, top 10 Heisman candidate or what have you, and Warren's playing great, but he's really the primary option that Aller has and kind of the only one that he knows he can rely on, and Aller's still producing like he is. You know, there's Every Saturday, he's making those throws that are unbelievable, right? Like that you mark down as ones that very few quarterbacks in the country can make, and he's doing it a few times a game. He's been so much more consistent this year than he has been in years past. Yeah, I think he's been kind of underappreciated, you know, over the last 2 years, but definitely this year because the quarterback position went from one that everyone was kind of talking about last year because people were trying to figure out where to kind of assign blame for the issues to this point of, you know, it's not even noticeable anymore. And so maybe he's flying under the radar a little bit because of that.
When other reporters that haven't seen much of him ask you about Warren, what do you tell them?
One, that I think he's the best tight end in the country. I do think it's close. I know there's been a lot of, you know, poo-pooing of Harold Fannin Jr., who is excellent, as Penn State found out earlier this year when they played Bowling Green. But, yeah, I think Warren is the best, as James Franklin puts it, the best all-around tight end in the country, right? He is, I think the first thing you have to bring up is the versatility. As everyone knows, he played quarterback in high school. He also punted in high school. You know, he did everything for his high school team down at Attlee. So, he is the kind of versatile piece that I think very few coordinators can maximize in the way that Andy Kotelnicki has. That's the other part of this, too. And I think that kind of relationship between Warren and Kotelnicki and the fact that Kotelnicki's here for this year is kind of elevating Warren to this level of where I do think he is the best in the country.
Fannin, by the way, had 10 more catches last night, for anybody who's wondering.
Yeah. Remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't matter if he's playing Texas A&M, Penn State, or Miami of Ohio. He just produces every single time out. What's your thought on the defense and how they played to this point?
Yeah, I think this is the second best defense in the country, and I only think it's second best because we all kind of saw up close what Ohio State's capable of doing, and I know some Ohio State fans have not been happy with Jim Knowles and what have you, but I think he's done a tremendous job. And outside of that unit, though, I think Penn State is better than any. It's very strange because at the beginning of the year, I think there were some perceived cracks, even from my perspective, right? Like I saw some of the slow starts to games that maybe they weren't adjusting quick enough early in the year, and I thought, you know, I didn't know if Tom Allen would have this unit at the same level that Brent Pry had and that Manny Diaz had in years past. And then you see, as the year goes on, they continue to get better and better at all three levels of the defense. Kobe King is playing incredibly well. At defensive end, Abdul Carter and Denai Dennis Sutton, when he's healthy, are the two of the best in the country. A.J. Harris, I think, is one of the best corners in the country, and I think he's going to, you know, see his notoriety grow heading into next season especially. Obviously, Jalen Reed has been playing the best of his career. I just think at all three levels, they have guys who are playing kind of above maybe where we all projected where they would be, and that's allowing the whole unit to take the next step. And it helps that Allen plays a style of defense that bend but don't break, right? Like make the quarterback try and beat you downfield when it's difficult. Style that is, you know, more popular these days, but also more successful, and they haven't been beaten by really anyone to that great of a degree, other than, oddly enough, Bowling Green, right? And one, I think that's a testament to how Connor Bazelak played in that game and how Fannin played, but two, it's kind of an outlier. They've been mostly dominant for most of the season.
Yeah, it was also the first game they had to start adjusting mid-game with KJ Winston being out because he played the first quarter and then left. I know you're a big hoops guy, which I love. Virginia Tech, Penn State's out there 3-0 start. What do you think so far?
I think I was probably wrong about this team's ceiling. I think Yannick Niederhauser might be an NBA center, which is not something I anticipated. I will be curious to see how he kind of evolves the rest of the season. It's really interesting. The way he's played, like the brute force and the physicality, isn't how I anticipate him playing in the Big Ten, and the way I think he'll win in the Big Ten will be even more impressive with the skill and the floor spacing, the passing, his ability to attack the rim off the dribble from, you know, 15 feet out. I think that will really stand out as they get into Big Ten play and even this Friday against Virginia Tech. But I think as a team, like, I think they have a legitimate chance to make the NCAA tournament because of Yannick Niederhauser and, you know, the guys that we all know, like Ace Baldwin, DeMarco Dunn, and Zach Hicks, those guys. But I think Niederhauser raises that ceiling of what this team could be at the end of the season.
John, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the time you gave us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. I always appreciate it.
And this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make this a November to remember. Sunbury Motors Hyundai received 10 truckloads of new Hyundais, and we need to make room now. Choose from over 55 brand new Hyundai Tucson's with savings over $6,500. Sunbury Motors has the full-size SUV Hyundai Santa Fe discounted up to an unbelievable $6,197 off. Both the Tucson and Santa Fe have financing as low as 0% for 48 months and 1.99% for 60 months. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 mile powertrain. If you want to have a fun day, why not buy a Santa Cruz Hyundai? This nimble pickup starts at $31,340. The Santa Cruz is discounted up to $49,50 with 23 available. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is going to save you the most money all year now. 10 truckloads of new Hyundais will make this month a November to remember with your next Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Man, this half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, I went new, I went Ford, I went Explorer. They had the perfect lineup for me. I only test drove two of them. And the first one I test drove, I said, I want this one. But I test drove the other one just to see. I mean, they steered me in the right direction and just said, hey, in other words, what are you thinking? Told them. Huh? They steered me in the direction of what I was thinking. Not what they were thinking, what I was thinking. It's the way the experience should be. And financing, great. Everything. Big lot that has, it's filled with pre-owned vehicles, and they go over each and every one with a fine-tooth comb. And quick lane, the service department, inspections routine, difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We now bring in the Lee Trevino of the Valley, Greg Wetzel.
How you doing, Steve?
Well, how did you play?
84.
Not bad.
I'll take it with the weather conditions, and I'm down about once a week now, so I'll take it.
No, I played last week. I already told everybody in the first half hour. I played last week on Monday. It was nice out.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And I shot.
Yep.
I only played the back nine of the blue course. I shot even par. I was like,
"There
whoa.
You go."
I said, "We're done. We're done."
That's exactly
We're gonna put them away. To football and basketball games. I got a lot going on now. Fortunately for you, you've got a football game.
That's
so
right.
When you look at when you look at last week's game, what did they show in last week's game that gave you an idea that they have a championship mindset?
The way they came out right off the bat, Steve. First drive right down the field, six plays. They went about 70 yards right down the field, scored a touchdown. Thought Mount Carmel defense got the ball back and went right down the field again, scored again. They look fresh. The week off, you know, going into any game when you have that week off, it's like, okay, did that help them or hurt them? And I think the week off really helped them last week. And they just played with a lot of confidence. They dominated the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively, and were the more physical team last week against Mount Carmel. And it was fun to watch them.
So, Greg, just based on reputation, you'd think it would be the other way around. What does it tell you about their mindset that they didn't care about reputation? They just went out and just did it their way.
Yeah, I think, you know, these kids are a confident group of kids, Steve. And they are. They study film a lot. I think that's the key right now is their mindset. Right now, they don't think they can lose. And that's half the battle, realistically, you get to this time of season. They feel real good about themselves, the way they're playing right now. And Wenrick last week, the quarterback threw the ball well in the first half, kind of got Mount Carmel out of their defense where they were putting nine in the box and singling the wide receivers. Well, all of a sudden, they had to have safety over the top to cover a wide receiver, move some guys out of the box, and that opened up the running game. They ran for well over 300 yards last week.
All right, so now Danville. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they've got the same kind of confidence that Lewisburg would have, you know, especially after their really a 25-point win last week over Montoursville.
Mm-hmm. They've been successful against Lewisburg the last few years.
Yeah, years.
So they have to be feeling good about themselves.
Oh, no question they have to feel great about themselves because they continue to play it at such a high level on an every week basis. But so when you look at them, what makes them who they are heading into? We know who Lewisburg is. What does it make Danville coming in?
Well, I just think their skill position players are just superior every week to who they're playing. You know, the running back, Sheptock, who is a record-setting running back for them. Their quarterback, who's a record-setting quarterback for them. Their wide receiver, Duffy, who might not have the record, but he is every bit as good as what the Persing boy was a couple years ago. So, I mean, that's where I think they get you is they have superior athletes on the outside, the quarterback, who's started for at least 3 years, maybe 4 years. Mm-hmm. He's played a lot of ball for him. And then Sheptock, the running back, who's played for him a lot. So I think that's where you really can't single out one thing. I want to stop the running game. I want to stop the pass game. You have to commit people to the passing game. You also have to commit people to the running game. So it makes them very difficult to defend.
We'll take you all the way back to the opening of the season. They played with Lime Mountain, if I remember, and they won the game by 3.
Correct.
What happened on that particular night that may have set the tone for everything that we're seeing the rest of the way through?
In that game, there were under 2 minutes to go in the game. There was under 2 minutes to go. Lime Mountain had the ball on Lewisburg's 35-yard line, 26-23, Lewisburg lead, fourth down and a yard to go.
Mm-hmm.
Lime Mountain went for it on fourth down, of course, to get it, and Lewisburg stopped them. and ran out the clock because Lime Mountain had no more timeouts left. And I think that just set the tone for the year especially the defense. They have stopped numerous teams on fourth down, fourth and goal, fourth down in the middle of the field, going for it. And I just think the confidence that they got from that one play has just carried through with them for the rest of the year.
Yeah, amazing. And Lime Mountain went all the way to the A final and then lost to Muncie, the number one seed.
Yep.
Played great.
Exactly.
The fact that these two teams didn't play this year. Right?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Danville Lewisburg didn't play this year, did they?
No.
This is what's intriguing.
We were in different divisions.
Yeah, that's what's so intriguing about this. Like, they haven't played each other yet. You always get a lot of rematches this time of the year. This isn't one of them.
No, and again, I think that's what has people excited about this game. Do they have some common opponents? Yeah, Mount Carmel's been a common opponent. Montoursville's been a common opponent. Mifflinburg's been a common opponent. So they have some common opponents, and if you look at scores, some of them are pretty close to the others, but some Montoursville's beating the team worse than Lewisburg's beating them, and vice versa. Lewisburg's beating the team maybe worse than than Danville beating them. So it's an intriguing matchup, and I think people are looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be a good crowd, not just Lewisburg and Danville people. I think there's going to be people from other schools coming to watch this game.
How exciting is this for the town? Because Lewisburg, it's been a long time since they've been in this spot.
2010 was the last time we played in a district final game. So yes, it has been a long time. And Steve, it's funny you say this, but yesterday I was talking to the Lewisburg soccer coach, boys soccer coach, and he's all excited about this football team, and going to the games, stuff like that. And he said, this really gets the community excited about sports in Lewisburg. He said, I just hope they keep winning, stuff like that, because he's talked about his soccer team, which is, like I said, arguably one of the best soccer teams in the state over the last 10 years.
No kidding.
And they might get 250 to 300 people to a game. On a good game, they might get 250 to 300 people. Where Lewisburg in a football, they're drawn into the thousands, and stuff like that. And he said, the interest is just creating through the school, through the community. He said he just loves to see it, and he hopes it carries over to the other sports.
Lewisburg wins if?
I think Lewisburg wins if they can hold Sheptock to under 80 yards rushing.
Okay.
And forces Danville to throw the ball. I think that's one of the things, and I think that comes from Lewisburg controlling the line of scrimmage. I think that's the big key tomorrow night. Lewisburg has to control the line of scrimmage.
I'll give you one, as somebody who hasn't seen either team, but when one team can run the ball as well as Danville runs it, if Lewisburg were to do something to get up by two scores, that gets them out of the running game too.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, there's two good running backs in this game tomorrow night. Sheptock is a really good running back, and the Davis kid from Lewisburg is a really good running back. And both teams want to run the ball. It's just, again, who gets ahead or who can stop the run, one of those two issues, or gets them out of their comfort zone, so to speak.
Greg, I'm thrilled for you. I'm thrilled for everybody in Lewisburg. This has been an incredible ride, and let's see if it can continue tomorrow night on 100.9 The Valley.
Boy, I hope so. Hopefully we can talk next week, Steve.
That would be great. Greg, thanks so much for the time. Way to go with the 84, considering the ball probably was traveling 50 yards, not as far.
Yeah, it wasn't today, but it was fun.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep, take care.
Greg Wetzel joining us. Lewisburg, Danville, tomorrow night. 100.9 The Valley. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
That that the suit has Big Lou on speed dial.
That is between the suit and his lawyer.
I think that's more of a HIPAA thing.
Yeah.
All right, that's just me. You know, but I just thought I'd bring it up.
I don't know. Big Lou has his irons in a variety of fires. So.
Jeez. So, let's see. So he said, Duffy is a better golfer than you guys, too.
Yes.
His dad played at Virginia. Duffy played in the PIAAs the last 3 years while playing football. Jeez.
Yes.
Ooh, how about that? Well, I'm just lucky when the ball goes straight. Like, hey, all right. It's a big day today. All right.
I was going to say, he does your August and September, except when he goes to football practice, he plays in the football practice.
Right, exactly. That's the big difference. Big difference. All right. Oh, man. I feel like I say this a lot during the course of the year. But again, isn't this a fun time of the year? I say that like so many times during the year. It's April. What a fun time of the year. It's May. What a fun time of the year, right? Well, here we are in November. Get a little snap in the air today, a little overcast. What a fun time of the year. Lewisburg's playing Danville tomorrow night. Penn State's got Purdue Saturday. They're right in the thick of this college football playoff conversation. You know, big games across the country. Eagles are playing tonight with the Commanders. Steelers and Ravens on Sunday. Man, it is fun. Right? And what's, you know, Joel Embiid sitting out. Everything's falling into place.
Hey, it was the second night of a back-to-back last night. I mean, I'm trying to get through till 8, maybe about 8:30 tonight, and then I'll be super excited for the rest of the weekend. I'm pretty excited now for that game tomorrow night, but we have a basketball game tonight, and I have a radio hit on WQSU at like 8:10, and then
okay.
Then I'm off until the football game, and that excites me.
Yeah, I've only had a couple of those interviews this week. You know, Ohio State, it was wall to wall all week. So, you know, you just need to manage it. And I've got one next week. Because Rob King, who does the Steelers, wants me on his podcast because you'd sent some information to me. So we're going to do that Tuesday morning. But, yeah, it is such a fun time. I mean, games with stakes. Stakes. I love it.
I was going to say, I'll be recording one tonight that's not in the area because the winner of Shemokin and Juniata gets Bethlehem Catholic or Southern Lehigh, and that's on TV if you have Service Electric on Channel 100. We get the Allentown area game sometimes. So there's all kinds of things this week if you look for it, and even if you don't look for it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it's just fun. Yeah, and then, you know, it's not just the games that we're involved in locally.
No.
As I've already mentioned, Eagles, Commanders, Steelers, Ravens, Penn State, Purdue, Danville, Lewisburg, among others. There are other playoff games going on. But, you know, you've got, you know, Tennessee, Georgia coming up on Saturday night. You know, and, you know, that's one where, you know, that's got playoff implications. There's just a lot of really cool things going on right now that just to me are fun and just enjoyable. Sit back and go, man, I'm really glad as a kid I started loving sports. Because then you get to this time of your life and you still love it. It's great. It doesn't mean they're not issues. We talk about the issues all the time, you know, that happen. You know, that we talk about the money part of it and things like that. I got it. Okay? But really, for the most part, like, once we get to the games, it's fun. Now, the problem is, like, you can't have a game every day of the week, especially in football. It's once a week. But, you know, with it being once a week, it always gives you those days in between where there's a lot of talk.
Yes.
No action and a lot of talk.
I was going to say, between the games is for us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we got Bo Smolka coming up in the next hour. Talk about the Ravens side of it.
You saw Bucknell had a tough one last night.
I did not.
They were up 18 in the second half and lost in double overtime.
Ooh, that's crushing.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Coach Griffin is not an excuse guy, but I think it was very clear that they kind of hit the wall after that tough end of the week last week and just got really tired late in the second half.
Right. Yeah. Is there any way they can blame Matt?
I don't know. What can you blame the PA guy for?
Presence.
Well, okay, then yes. Because he was there.
I mean, we blame the soup for showing up at things. I mean, you know. So.
Meh. Then yes, it was Matt's fault. We'll have to ask him Tuesday.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect. Oh, that's tough when you have a lead like that and you lose it. And you know what's bothersome is when you're broadcasting the game and you can feel it slipping. And I don't mean when it gets down to like single digits or something like that. Sometimes it'll be 18 and suddenly they'll hit a basket that makes it 11 or 12. You're like going, oh, this is starting to slip. You can feel it. Boy, does that drive you, like you're sitting there like you can feel it. You can feel it when momentum swings a team's way. You can feel it when it's slipping away. It is, man, you're like fighting to the, as the broadcaster, you're fighting to the finish, let alone what they're trying to do on the floor, which is even worse.
Well, it's amusing you say that because when they started the run, it was down to like 8 or something. And my buddy was at the game and he texted me and he said, I think Griff knows what's coming. You can tell by the look on his face.
Well, at that point, you know what happens? You don't have enough timeouts.
No.
I mean, you don't even remotely have enough timeouts, right? And you're just sitting there, and you don't know what combination to put out there. You don't know what button to push, you know? And or you feel like, geez, I pushed every single button. I have nothing, right? They're just not responding the way I need them to. I mean, is this for a coach, it's just one of those where you know it's happening and you're trying to think of everything in your power to somehow blunt the run. Get your team back on track. And then it gets to the point where suddenly you start hoping your team can hit a couple of buckets. Instead of thinking or knowing they're going to, you start hoping. Well, as we've tried to tell the suit for years, when it comes to his ideas, hope is not a strategy.
I won't repeat it, but every time somebody says something like that, it reminds me of the Burgess Meredith line in Grumpy Old Men.
You know, I've only seen like bits and pieces of Grumpy Old Men. I never saw the whole thing.
That's actually worth it. That's worth to sit down and watch one time.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
It's amusing.
Okay, cool.
I mean, it's Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. So.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Luckily, we don't. I'm thinking we don't have a young enough audience that we have to explain Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon, which is both a good and a bad thing, I think.
Oh, man. All right, this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.